Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, and we are visiting this week with the new Assistant Director of Broadcasting, JT Crabtree. JT, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian. Kind of weird being on the other side of the microphone, considering I'm the guy who normally edits this, but good to be here.
Yeah, do you have someone in mind to replace you for the teaser and the opening so we get a different voice on this broadcast?
I hadn't thought about that. That was going to be kind of weird. I'll be promoing myself, kind of. I can walk a couple of doors down and see if JD will do something different, maybe.
So, you know, the first question is essentially, you know, tell us the duties and responsibilities that come with this now that you've officially joined us in a full-time capacity.
Yeah, for the most part, everything's going to stay the same. I'll still be doing play-by-play for women's basketball and softball, both home and on the road. Still football duties, pregame for football, halftime, and helping out with post, engineering, and producing in the middle of the game. The big addition is I'll be doing sales now, so I got to bring some money in and find some new supporters of South Alabama Athletics. That's the main difference.
So it's probably too early to ask, because I don't know how many calls you've made to potential clients. But, you know, at this point, you know, describe for us a typical day, but not now necessarily, but since you have been broadcasting the last 2 years, you know, what talk about a day when you have a broadcast and how you line it up and how you schedule things.
Yeah, sure. I'll say a typical day of, let's say, softball on a Saturday or getting ready for it. Typically, I'll go through, I've got my own stats that I get from you guys in strategic communications, and I'll go through and update that on my kind of spotters board, and then I'll print all those out. I'll get some notes on the other team, run through all that, print it out. Usually the day before a game, I'll go up to whatever stadium I'm going to and go tape up my notes on the windows and on the tables. It's really exciting stuff, really. I know everyone wants to hear about this. But I'll go set up the gear. I'm paranoid, and I like to make sure everything's set up and done ahead of time. So I'll set it up, leave it, and then day of the game, I'll get there usually about 3 hours early, set up, and just kind of wait around. I really like hanging out with the players ahead of time, see what the mood is and what like. And then I'll go upstairs and start talking about the game.
Now, I imagine, and it works for both women's basketball and softball, but spending time with the team and that being there early to prepare kind of gives you some stuff to work with, because for the most part, you tend to not have an analyst on your broadcast. And I would suspect that there's a big difference between a one-man show and a two-person crew. You know, tell us about how you handle that, because I'm sure you've been part of both.
Yeah. You know, typically, sometimes I'll step over and do color for some baseball games, and I'll be the analyst for that, and I'll help out JD on those broadcasts. But like you mentioned, for the most part, it's me, myself, and I, and kind of talking to the wall a little bit. But it's fun because I get to tell the story of the student athletes, and where I get most of my stuff is on the bus riding with them, in the hotel, out at dinner. It's like I'm part of the team, kind of, because I'm with them all the time on the road and stuff like that. And so it's fun to tell their story, and that's really the main thing I do in broadcast, is maybe not necessarily breaking down X's and O's, but kind of telling their story and what it's like behind the scenes.
So if you would explain to us your prep for a game, be it women's basketball or softball, because you've got like a card or a chart. how much time goes into creating it for a game? What are you putting on there? How often do you go to it when you're on the air?
It's a little different for each sport. For women's basketball, the game is so fast and there's so few breaks. Stat-wise, I create a chart usually the week of the game for – I have one for us that I just update all season long, the one for our opponent. And I'll add a couple of key stats here that I know I'll call upon during the game, and then a bullet point or two for each player. If I can find something for that player, a lot of times players don't play that much, so they don't have too much info on them. But I'll do that for both sides. And basketball, mainly I use it like during free throw attempts or stuff like that in pregame if it's something important. For softball, though, it's slower. There's a lot more time in between. That's where I really have a detailed chart for everybody on both teams so I can fill in during at-bats, in between pitches. And like for us, because I'm around them so much, most of the information is stuff that you won't find on a stat sheet, where – on the other side, for an opposing team, most of it is statistical or trends that they've had recently. So that's kind of how I present my broadcast for the most part.
How long does it take you to put together a chart? You know, I mean, because you're taking statistics and notes, if they're produced by both offices, whatever terminology you use, media relations, communications along that line. Just how long does it take to get the detail ready so that when you go on the air, it's seamless?
Well, fortunately, I'll give you guys a plug. You guys make my job easy because you give me plenty of stats and notes and whatnot every single week for us. For the other team, especially for softball, it's a lot of times a sport that's not as covered as much as us, so it's a little bit harder. For the most part, probably around 5, 6, 7 hours for a total week getting ready for a game, probably to set up the boards like that.
So perhaps you give a plug to someone else in the department, and maybe you don't, but how have you learned to prepare for a broadcast? Who's helped you? Where do you get these ideas from? And how much do you think that you've kind of developed from game one of women's basketball 2 years ago when you officially started to the end of softball last year?
I think I've gotten a lot more economical with my preparation. J.D. Byers is a big help with that. But what I like to do anywhere I go, I kind of like to not really snoop around, but just kind of see what other people are doing. And that's where I get a lot of my ideas. I've in my role as social media coordinator in the past, I've done some graphic design and stuff like that. And usually I make my own charts for everything. I make my own score sheets. So I can physically, my handwriting is atrocious. So I'll physically type stuff on the notes. I won't sit there and handwrite it because there's no way I'm going to read it when I'm quickly looking for it in game. So I'll sit there and type something before a game on usually a sheet that I've made myself and stuff like that. But JD has really helped me figure out what is important, what needs to be on paper, and how to place it to kind of quickly find it so that I can recall it in a game.
So delving into this other half, and realistically this is the last year that you'll truly have both feet in the pool, social media. Admittedly, I hope to lean on you moving forward as we transition and get more involved in that on our end and what we can do for the department and expanding and developing what we already offer. But for people out there who may not totally be in tune, define social media. I mean, what avenues are you on? If you break it down, where do you put more attention? What do you think is more relevant at this point in time in that role as coordinator?
Yeah, so for people that may not know, the JAG Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, I run those. I curate them and make the majority of the graphics on there. For the main focus of it, I personally find the focus more to be towards Twitter because, you know, we do game updates and things like that. And I know just from personal experience, when people flood your Facebook page, they're probably going to tune you out. But Twitter is real time. It doesn't sort it based on what their algorithm thinks you want to see. So you get it in real time, and it's okay if you inundate people a little bit with a lot of stuff. That's mainly my focus. And then we recently expanded on hitting Instagram and Snapchat because that's where our students are for the most part. And so far, I have a fantastic intern, Carla Silva, who's been running Instagram and Snapchat during games. And she's done a really good job promoting those two platforms better than I have the last 2 years. I can definitely say that.
So, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit because, you know, we had that opportunity to work together when you were an undergrad here. But, you know, for broadcasting, for social media, for you, where did the interest come from? When did you know you had it, that this was the path that you wanted to follow?
For radio, it was the final semester before I graduated. I was a print journalism major. Actually, I started out as a biomedical sciences major for 2.5 years. And that, as you can see, that turned out just fine and dandy. But I finished with a print journalism degree, and broadcasting didn't really start until my final year as an undergrad at South, where I was approached by the student radio station, and they asked if I wanted to be the sports director for the station. And I said, you know, I'm at games anyway, covering for the Vanguard, which at the time I was also sports editor. I said, I'm already there. I'll just pull double duty, and I'll do radio kind of as a hobby. And about a semester after doing it, I said, I really like this a lot more than print, but I didn't want to switch my degree with the semester left and go do broadcast journalism. So I graduated with the print degree and actually quit my job with the Vanguard and focused full time on radio. The social media side of it, I created the JAG Nation Facebook page actually as a student organization when I was an undergrad, and the following kept getting bigger and bigger. And I actually remember when we beat Western Kentucky in 2013, the page exploded from like 400 likes to I think around 3,000 in 2 days. And it was crazy. It was overnight. I'd check it every 5 minutes, and it would, Facebook at the time would be maxed out and said 999 plus likes have been added to your page in the last 24 hours. And it did that for several days. And, I just kind of kept doing it more and more there, and that's where it kind of took off.
So now feels like a good time to mention, as we are visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with JT Crabtree, the Assistant Director of Broadcasting at South Alabama, just joined the staff full time. You received your degree in print journalism in 2014 in the spring. You talked about the Vanguard experience, talked about broadcasting. You know, tell us about where you worked, how long you worked there at various jobs as an undergraduate to help put you in the position you are today.
Yeah, I had kind of a mixed bag of jobs. I worked for the Vanguard, the South Alabama's student newspaper, for about 3.5 years. I started as just a sports reporter. I wrote a column every now and then I got promoted to, at the time, what was called left-of-center sports editor, which was supposed to be more of kind of not your traditional sports, I guess you could say, coverage. It was really more of just kind of a co-sports editor position. And then the following year after that, I took over as full-time sports editor of the Vanguard. And like I mentioned, I worked for the student station, The Prowl, which at the time was online only. I did that for a full year, my last year as an undergrad, and kind of mixed in between there, I did some football coverage for 24/7 sports online. I covered practice and things like that, and I know I was y'all's favorite person for a while doing coverage out there. By the way, I apologize for any headaches I gave you guys back then. That was years ago, before we had a lot of the rules and stuff, and I was breaking them without knowing it at the time. But yeah, those were the main three places where I worked as an undergrad.
I'm not going to lie to you. All apologies are appreciated, but it's really not necessary. I mean, I'm coming to learn now as, you know, as student media turnover every year. It's great that the students have the interest, and we want to help cultivate it, but a lot come in really with no idea of where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, and what they're supposed to do there. So, you know, it's a learning experience that we need to contribute to, and a lot of times I kind of lose sight of that and need to do a better job. But yeah, you might have posted some stuff online that even the coaches wished wasn't out there. You probably need to apologize to them when you're doing your coordinator interviews this afternoon. So, born and raised in Mobile, you went to St. Paul's Episcopal School. You know, when you were young, tell us when you got into sports, how old you were, what did you play? What led you down this path that you are now an athletic administrator, essentially?
You mentioned I went to St. Paul's. I played baseball there in high school. I graduated in 09, so I was – everyone always says, oh, you're with the A.J. McCarron class. Yeah, I played baseball with him. I played football growing up with him. I played football in middle school with him. And, by the way, we did win the middle school Mobile County Championship. We got championship rings for it for going 8-0 that year. That's still up on my shelf. That's a proud moment. How I got involved with sports was mainly my dad. He played baseball growing up. My whole family is a big baseball family. My great uncle played. He had tryouts with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I've got another relative who distantly related. I'm not sure entirely how he's related, but he's got the name Crabtree, so we claim him. He played for the Texas Rangers for several years. And just baseball is deep in my blood. And probably when I was about 6-7 years old is when I got into sports. I first got into football because my friend down the street was a Denver Broncos fan, and so I still am now, only because John Elway was the quarterback. They were winning. He wore number 7, and his name was John. And my name was John. That's John Thomas is what JT stands for. And he wore 7. My birthday is on February 7th, so I was like, that's my guy. And I stuck with him, and that's how I first got into sports. It just carried on from there.
So, like, when you got to high school, I don't know if St. Paul's – I mean, a lot of schools have a paper – did you do any work for it? At what point did you realize that a potential pro career as a player might not be likely and that this was a route for you in the future?
Yeah, pro sports was never an option for me. I was not the gifted athlete. But I did have some fun doing it. I miss playing. But going down the road to, you know, covering sports, I really didn't know that was what I wanted to do until probably my junior year of college. And I took 5 years, the redshirt senior year, as I call it, to graduate from South. But probably my junior year was when I realized, you know, I kind of want to do this because I actually got interviewed by the Vanguard for an article. And then they just asked me, hey, we need writers. Do you want to join on as just a freelance guy? And I was, okay, sure. And it just kind of rolled from there. But that's really kind of how it got rolling. I didn't do anything in high school. I did yearbook for a year because a friend of mine was in the class, and she actually dropped it over the summer and didn't tell me. So I was stuck in a class with no one. But, up until midway through college, I wasn't involved at all in broadcast or journalism or anything like that.
So you did tell us before that you started as a biomedical sciences major. What exactly were you planning to do until you hit this detour?
Well, I was very injury prone as a kid. I had probably about 15 or so broken bones growing up. I've got my posture right now is perfect, and it will be for the rest of my life because I had spinal fusion surgery when I was 14. So I've got 2 18-inch titanium rods going down my spine. So I'm nice and straight up and down. And because of that, I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. I wanted to kind of give back what people had helped me with. And yeah, that didn't work out too well. I couldn't pass organic chemistry.
I don't want to question anything. We're glad to have you as part of the team, but you realize you might have sacrificed a few dollars down the road in the future, right? You don't have to answer that. Your laugh says it all. So realistically now, as a full-time broadcaster and sales individual, you know, moving forward, how do you set goals short-term for what you need to do at South, and long-term, is there a team or a program that you, or game, an event that, that you hope that you broadcast down the road?
Well, when I got placed on to do softball 2 years ago, I'll be very honest, and I've told head coach Becky Clark this, I didn't initially know too much about the sport, but I dove head first, and I really, really enjoy calling softball games, and I'd love to go with them over to Oklahoma City and do a Women's College World Series game. That would be phenomenal to do. Short term, really just increasing the quality of the broadcast we have here, because I know what we do is good right now, but there's always some room for improvement. Adding, you know, I always listen to other baseball broadcasts professionally, and you'll hear like the microphone down behind home plate where you hear the pop of the mitt and stuff like that. Just little added things that I'd like to do in the future. Long term, obviously I'd love to stay here. I was born and raised here, went to school here, and now working here. Love to stay here and keep calling games. Maybe in the future down the road when Mr. Byers retires as the voice of the Jags, I'd love to step over and call some Jags football and all that, and be the new voice of the Jags.
We were visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Assistant Director of Broadcasting, JT Crabtree. Appreciate the time. We know there's a little bit going on here this week, heading into the home opener for Jags football, and you're obviously playing a part and have a role in that broadcast on Friday night. But before we let you go, even though we feel we know you pretty well, we're going to have to get to know you a little better and ask some questions. So first thing that comes to your mind, and the first question is, when you have free time, what's your favorite thing to do?
For the most part, I like watching sports. I'll play some video games here and there. Not too many, though. I've really picked up, I like hiking. I really like just going out and seeing different places. I get to travel a lot, but mostly it's just in cities and hotel rooms and stuff like that. But I like going out and seeing the scenery around some places that we travel to. And I've started playing golf a good bit again lately. I played it a lot actually in college, but I haven't played it in the last couple of years. But I've started playing it again recently, and I really enjoy that.
If you shoot under 90, you're not invited with us. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Gosh. I haven't been to many too big games, per se. Probably the one that I had the most fun at, looking back at, was 2007. I went to Braves-Yankees and saw Alex Rodriguez at the time tied Reggie Jackson for all-time career homers. And I saw Mariano Rivera get a career save .499, so that was pretty cool.
On your bucket list, what is number one on the sporting event you want to go to you've never been?
I'm a big baseball guy, so either the College World Series, go over to Omaha, or World Series game. I'm a big Braves guy. I know it's probably several years down the future that the Braves would ever go to World Series. But if they could make it and I could have a chance to go to Atlanta and see a game, that would be pretty cool.
Where is the best place you've ever been on vacation?
I don't do a whole lot of vacations, man. Usually I'll go to the beach. A couple years ago I went skiing. That was pretty cool. Cold. I don't do cold much, but that was fun. I'll say I went to New York City Christmas break my freshman year of college, and I'd never been north of Virginia. I lived in Virginia for the first 2 years of my life and then moved back down here. But New York was so different, and it was so busy, and it was the first time I'd flown in several years, and getting on a plane in Mobile and then stepping off in New York and being just there was, it was crazy. So I'll probably say that one.
So somewhere down the line, when you actually have a break again, who knows when that'll come, what is the number one place, list of destinations you've never been to but want to go to for a vacation?
I like to travel, and obviously that's good because of my job. I'd love to go to Canada. I've seen some cool stuff about up there, and I've had a couple of friends go up there, and of course the women's basketball team just got back from up there, and J.D. Brooks was telling me some cool stuff about it, and yeah, I'd like to see that.
Favorite movie?
Oh, favorite Major League. Yeah, definitely Major League.
Favorite book?
Of Mics and Men. It's Pete Van Wieren's autobiography, the old Braves radio guy.
Favorite musical artist?
Oh, gosh, that's a grab bag of music there. Brad Paisley and Old Dominion.
We know you have musical experience. There's video online to prove it now. We'll leave it at that. Last question. When someone comes back and finds the story of JT Crabtree is just out of this world and it needs to be put into a movie format, comes up with a script and goes casting, what actor plays the lead role of JT Crabtree?
Oh gosh, it'd be a terrible movie. Not because I look like him, because obviously I'm much better looking, but I'm going to say Ryan Reynolds, just because I like his personality. And I think the kind of sarcasm would be kind of good in a sports role.
Oh, no, they're going to come back. You've got a championship ring. That stuff sells. Our guest this week on Inside JAG Nation has been Assistant Director of Broadcasting JT Crabtree. JT, we appreciate it and look forward to working with you here as we move forward together.
Glad to be here, Brian. Thanks.
Inside JAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside JAG Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Yeah!